Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, January 17th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Oil Gas Output at New Stage of Maturity. Companies running out of inventory, checking other tier locations. Pioneer CEO. By Mella McEwen. Though it has been producing crude and natural gas for roughly a century, the Permian Basin has gone through various cycles of rejuvenation. The latest rejuvenation, kicked off by the shale revolution, is now approaching its 20th year, and there are concerns the prolific Permian is headed toward a decline or plateau in the coming decade. What producers say? Pioneer Natural Resources has lowered its forecast for Permian daily oil production 7 million barrels by 2030, down from 8 million barrels. The reason, Pioneer Chief Executive Officer Scott Sheffield said at the Goldman Sachs Global Energy and Clean Technology Conference earlier this month, is that companies are running out of inventory and are now looking at their inventory of Tier 2 and Tier 3 drilling locations. Chevron reiterated its goal of producing 1.2 million to 1.5 million barrels a day from its Permian holdings by 2040, Sheffield told his audience. There are only three companies, to my mind, that are capable of producing over 1 million barrels in the Permian by 2030. Chevron, ConocoPhillips, and Pioneer. These are the only ones with inventory that deep, he said. Katie Matthews, Public and Government Affairs Advisor, Chevron Mid-Continent Business Unit, told the Reporter Telegram by email, In the Permian, we're building a business that's expected to deliver high returns and significant free cash flow for decades. With capital investment of around $4 billion per year, we expect to grow production beyond 1 million barrels of oil equivalent per day. We can do this because of our large resource base and efficient factory model. With gas-oil ratios continuing to rise, Sheffield forecasts that the percentage of crude production versus gas production will change, with crude falling below 50% in the next 10 years and Permian natural gas production rising to 30 billion cubic feet per day in that time frame. With takeaway constraints already impacting prices at the Waha gas hub, Sheffield said new pipelines to move that natural gas will be needed every 18 to 24 months. People are running out of inventory and reserve replacement, Sheffield commented. We're going to need massive merger and acquisition activity. A lot of these companies that don't sell will have a choice to make. Merge with one that has more inventory that's high-graded, or continue to take lower and lower production. He concluded, The Permian Basin will never roll over. It will remain flat for a long time. What analysts say? I would say the rumors of the Permian Basin's death have been greatly exaggerated, said Raoul LeBlanc, Vice President, Energy, at S&P Global Commodity Insights. Every area goes through stages, he told the Reporter Telegram by telephone, beginning with the discovery stage. Finding where to frack shale rock in the Permian Basin ended in 2016, he said. And now, operators know what the rock is like. Perfecting the fracturing recipe ended in 2019, he said. Operators are at the stage where they're slowly whittling down their fixed inventory and making incremental gains in well productivity as opposed to the 20% or more seen earlier, he said. Permian Basin producing acreage on a technical basis is very large, and the core is really good, continued LeBlanc. It's 3 or 4 or 5 times better than non-core acreage. There's a big difference. Running out of the best rock won't happen for the next few years, and even then, producers who come to the end of their top-tier inventory may look closer to city limits as they begin to develop their lower-quality holdings. What's interesting is when the oil price goes from $50 to $150, inventory just explodes. A lot of that $30 rock, there's not much left. At $40, there's a little more. But when it's $70, $80, bam, all of a sudden, you've created a massive inventory, said LeBlanc. For all operators' ability to lift Permian Basin production, now at a record 5.5 million barrels a day, the recovery factor is still only 9 to 11%. There's 90% still down there. It's also possible technology will let us get that 90%, said LeBlanc. Ryan Duman, research director, Lower 48 Upstream at Wood Mackenzie, told the Reporter Telegram by email, "We continue to forecast robust production potential from the Permian and don't anticipate any significant risks suggesting a substantial decline is imminent. Instead, our view calls for nearly another 2 million BD of oil growth by 2030. But, he wrote, while we don't expect the basin's production to decline, it is worth noting that the bulk of that growth is expected to occur by 2026. As operators eventually exhaust some of the best well locations and shift to less productive, although highly economic acreage, we see growth rates decelerate, and Permian oil production effectively begins to plateau in the second half of the decade. Natural gas production growth is expected to be more resilient and grow through 2030 due to rising GORs and some geographic shifts in the middle of the decade, resulting in the development of slightly gassier wells. James Taylor, senior energy analyst at East Daily Analytics, told the Reporter Telegram by telephone that his firm continues to see substantial growth in gas production associated with crude production in the Permian this year, though it has lowered its forecast by 300 million cubic feet as a result of lower rig counts. We still see, on average, 2.6 billion cubic feet of growth through the end of the year, versus the average in 2022, he said. The economics are there, he continued, because Permian operators are primarily drilling for oil, not natural gas. As long as oil wells are being drilled, we'll see natural gas, he said. Producers will continue to suffer from low prices at the Waha Hub in Pecos County because pipelines are so full, he said. Expansion of the Permian Highway and Whistler pipelines by mid-year will offer some help. But true relief won't be seen until 2024 when the Matterhorn Express pipeline enters service, Taylor said. Continued strong demand for natural gas and rising Permian production makes it more likely than not that proposed pipelines like the Warrior Pipeline, proposed by Energy Transfer, will be built, he said. As long as West Texas intermediate prices stay strong at $75 plus, I don't see growth going anywhere, said Taylor. This article is entitled Area Leads Way for Texas Oil Patch Growth Spending by Michelle Schnurman, Dallas Morning News. What a difference a few years make in the Texas oil patch. Oil and gas production keeps growing. The sector has been adding jobs at a torrid pace, and most companies have been investing more. In a December survey by Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, almost two-thirds of oil and gas executives reported an increase in capital spending compared with a year earlier, and almost two-thirds expect to increase spending in 2023. Like it or not, oil and gas is here to stay for a very long time, an executive from an exploration and production firm told the Dallas Fed. Our request is simple. Get out of our way, and we will deliver cheap energy. For the 12 months ending in October, crude oil production rose 7% in the U.S., reaching 12.38 million barrels daily. Texas's daily production hit almost 5.2 million barrels in October, up 4.6%. Those volumes are just shy of the record set in late 2019, shortly before the pandemic arrived. But in 2023, U.S. production is projected to edge higher and set a new high driven by the Permian Basin region in West Texas. The Permian is expected to increase output by 440,000 barrels per day, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. Natural gas withdrawals are at record highs already, led by a 5.1% increase in Texas for the year ended in October. The Energy Agency cited the Dallas Fed survey, noting that responses suggested increased activity, especially with most companies planning to boost capital spending this year. According to the survey, optimism waned in the fourth quarter amid concerns about inflation, supply bottlenecks, and availability of capital and labor. The threat of recession may temper some enthusiasm, said Michel Michaud Foss, a fellow in energy, minerals, and materials at Rice University's Baker Institute. But the math is just too compelling, Michaud Foss wrote in an email. The writing is on the wall. Demand is not going away, other than recession effects. Job growth is one proxy of the surging rebound in the Texas oil patch. The number of employees working in oil and gas extraction and support activities rose almost 22% to nearly 210,000 in the 12 months ended in November. That growth rate was about four times faster than the 5.1% increase in all non-farm jobs in Texas, according to estimates from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The unemployment rate in Midland, a key center for the Permian, was 2.8% in November, among the lowest in the state. Nationwide, the unemployment rate for workers in the sector that includes oil and gas was just 1.9% in December. There's strong demand, but the employees are no longer there, said Kunal Patel, senior business economist at the Dallas Fed. The survey pointed to strong growth in employment, hours, and wages in the fourth quarter. But a history of boom-bust cycles, which included deep layoffs in 2009, 2015, and 2020, has made it difficult to retain and recruit. It's just that most people are looking for a career, Patel said. How tight is the labor market? Our company is relying more heavily on rotational employees to service equipment, said one operator in the Permian. With local infrastructure stretched to the max, we are seeing an increase in safety incidents due to poor road conditions and traffic, the executive said. The oil and gas industry often complains about government regulation and opposition to fossil fuels. But even if all regulations were removed, activity couldn't be increased more than 10% because of the worker shortage, an executive said. Automation cannot drill wells, move rigs, and build locations. Despite concerns about labor, it is not the primary obstacle to growth. That goes to cost inflation and supply bottlenecks, cited by 32% of exploration and production firms when asked about the biggest drag on boosting output. Just 8% selected labor as the biggest headwind to increasing production of oil and gas. inflation continues to be a top-of-mind issue in explorations and production, an executive told the Dallas Fed. We are girding ourselves for further cost increases in 2023. This is against a backdrop of commodity price uncertainty and fears of demand destruction owing to recession. Inflation is a major contributor to this year's higher capital spending plans, Patel said. Add in the threat of recession and continuing supply problems, and that ramps up the uncertainty, which tempers optimism. In the survey, roughly half of the executives reported an increase in uncertainty from the previous quarter and from a year earlier. They're not as optimistic as they normally would be, Patel said. From a high level, activity continues to grow, and they're going to spend more. But some of that spending is going to be eaten up by cost inflation. Both natural gas and crude oil prices have been volatile for the past year, in part because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the sanctions that followed. Crude oil sold for about $80 a barrel at the start of 2022, rose to over $120 in early summer, and has retreated back into the 70s. When asked what price they were using for planning their capital spending in 2023, the median response was $75 a barrel, the Dallas Fed said. Michelle Foss of Rice said she was optimistic about the fossil fuel industry attracting more investment, both in the near and long term. One reason is there aren't enough materials to build out energy replacements at scale. For all of the pressure to paint the oil and gas businesses as riding off into the sunset, she said, the fact of the matter is that replacing these commodities will be exceedingly painful. This article is entitled MISD Board to Vote on 2023-24 School Calendar by Stuart Doreen. The Midland ISD Board will vote on the 2023-24 calendar at Tuesday's school board meeting. The district reported that the District Education Improvement Committee developed the 2023-24 academic calendar, and the administration is presenting it to the board. The calendar features no intersession weeks for struggling students to receive intervention for reading or math. It also shows a starting date of August 10th, a last day before Memorial Day, and teacher development days after the school year begins. The calendar draft presented by the board also provides four-day weekends for students in September and October, a potential four-day weekend around Easter because of a bad weather day, guaranteed three-day weekends in January and February, and a potential early start to spring break in March because of a bad weather day. Between September and April, there is not a month on these drafts that students don't have the potential for at least one day off. More than 1,900 stakeholders, primarily parents and staff members, provided their input regarding the calendar options presented, the district reported. 73.6% of respondents strongly agree, 57.7%, or agree, 15.9%, that the option presented for the board's approval is the best possible calendar option for the 2023-2024 school year. The calendar also meets the instructional needs of students and established state requirements, as evidenced by 187 contractual days for teachers, 77,240 instructional minutes for students, according to the district. Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard said she wasn't part of the drafting process, but that the calendar provides concepts popular with Midland ISD families, including a full week for Thanksgiving and two full weeks for Christmas break. The break actually goes from December 22nd to January 8th. The Midland ISD Board will meet at 5:30 p.m. Tuesday at Bowie Fine Arts Academy. 2023-24 School Calendar. August 2nd to 8th, Teacher Development. Start of School, August 9th. 4 Teacher Development Days after school starts. September 1st, October 9th, January 8th, February 19th. Week off for Thanksgiving. December 22nd to January 8th, Christmas break for students. Holidays like Labor Day, MLK Day, Easter, Memorial Day. March 8th, April 1st, Bad Weather Day. October 6th, Parent-Teacher Conference, Student Holiday. May 24th, Last Day of Second Semester. Source, Midland ISD. This article is entitled, Report. Average Midland Apartment Rent Tops $1,000, by Stuart Doreen. Midland is again headed toward having the most expensive rents in West Texas. ApartmentList.com, in its January national rent report, showed Midland ending 2022 closing in on Lubbock and San Angelo for having the most expensive two-bedroom rents in the region. The average two-bedroom rent in Midland topped $1,000 a month, $1,003, a 1.2% monthly increase. The average two-bedroom rents in Lubbock and San Angelo, respectively, were $1,028 and $1,020 a month. A reason for the ground being made up in both Midland and Odessa is because of year-over-year rent increases that are as great as anywhere in the state. In Odessa, the average increase is 24.6%. In Midland, it is 16.8%. Around the region, ApartmentList.com is showing year-over-year changes of -0.5% to 6.2%. In the largest metropolitan areas in Texas, the yearly rent increases were 2.8% to 6.2%. While rents in Midland are up, there is still considerable differences compared to rents in larger metropolitan areas. ApartmentList.com showed the following two-bedroom rents: $1,274 in Houston, $1,300 in San Antonio, $1,311 in Fort Worth, $1,436 in Dallas, and $1,774 in Austin. In the suburbs of Dallas, the rents are the highest in the state, including $2,190 in Flower Mound, $2,099 in Frisco, and $2,082 in Addison. Rents in Midland and Odessa are also still down considerably compared to prior to the start of the COVID pandemic, March 2020. ApartmentList.com showed averages are down 12.4% in Midland and 10.6% in Odessa. December was the first time Midland showed an average higher than $1,000 since rents plummeted during the pandemic. The national median rent increased by a total of 3.8% in 2022, according to ApartmentList.com. Despite the website showing a decrease in December in 90 of the nation's 100 largest cities. We estimate that the national median rent fell by 0.8% month over month in December, the report stated. This is the fourth consecutive monthly decline and the third largest monthly decline in the history of our estimates, which started in January 2017. The average increased 1.2% in both Midland and Odessa in December, according to the report. This column is called Community Roundup. MCT Annual Meeting. The Midland Community Theater will have its annual meeting at 10 a.m. on Saturday, January 21st. The annual meeting will take place at 2000 West Wadley Avenue. proposed bylaw changes will be considered for approval at this time. This is a membership meeting where MCT members are welcome and encouraged to attend. Solid waste schedule. The City of Midland has modified its trash pickup schedule for January 16th to 20th. There was no trash pickup on Monday because of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Monday's regular pickup will take place Tuesday, and Tuesday's regular pickup will take place Wednesday. Regular service is set for Thursday and Friday. Calendar. State of Oil and Gas. Tuesday, Bush Convention Center. Chocolate Decadence presented by the Aphasia Center of West Texas. 6:30 p.m., January 27th. Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Dog Rescue R Us. A Golden Tail Casino Potty Night. 7 to 10 p.m., January 28th, Ranchland Hills Golf Club. Online, drru.org. From Disability to Possibility, The Power of Inclusive Classrooms, presented by Bynum School, February 17th at Bynum School. Upcoming meetings, Midland College, noon Tuesday, Fireplace Room, Midland Country Club. Planning and Zoning, 3:30 p.m. Tuesday, Council Chamber, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Midland College, 4 p.m. Tuesday, Gibson Boardroom. Midland ISD, 5:30 p.m. Tuesday, Bowie Fine Arts Academy, 805 Elk Avenue. Send community briefs to sdoreen@hearstnp.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, January 17th, 2023. Hoven excited about transition city going through. Mayor says city employee interaction is why he's accused of micromanaging. Odessa Mayor Javier Hoven announced Saturday the formation of a Quality of Life Committee that will look at the issues facing Odessans. He also hopes to conduct a citywide survey of local residents by the end of the year. Hoven held a Coffee with the Mayor event at Mikasa Restaurant on West County Road Saturday morning. He spent more than an hour sharing his thoughts on the issues facing Odessans and taking questions from a handful of the dozen or so who attended the event. Shortly after taking office in 2021, Hoven said he'd suggested the formation of a committee. I didn't get pushback from the other members. What I got was interaction, and so we're readdressing it. I was asked by members of the council, can we put this back on the forefront, Hoven said. They'll look into creating a sports complex and discuss ways to address issues like feral cats, roads, water, and sewer systems, he said. Everybody in this room is going to be paying for the facilities to use, so the thing is, every aspect, we have an association. Soccer's a priority, baseball is a priority, or volleyball, that's a priority. No walking trails, no bike trails, and so it goes on and on. Everybody has a priority. But we can't build a facility that's big or one we can't afford. It's a process, but it is necessary to get the best value that we can, and we can only do that by going out and getting the data. Last year, the city broke away from a 25-year agreement with UTPB for use of the sports complex there. Council member Mark Mata has volunteered to head the committee, and co-chairs will be selected, he said. We're going to need people from the community to come on it too, Hoven said. He's planning to place the committee on a city council work session agenda as soon as he can, Hoven said. I wanted it done yesterday. I wanted it done 2 years ago, Hovind said. The citizen survey will be a separate endeavor, Hovind said. Instead of spending $20,000 to $30,000, Hovind said he'd like an anonymous survey to be posted on the city's website by the end of the year. While surveys have been conducted for the downtown area, it's been 12 years since citizens have been asked about their wants or needs for the entire city, Hovind said. Nor have they been asked about their vision. I want citizens to click on it, and we'll have formulated questions we want you to answer. I don't want it to be, do you agree, strongly agree, strong disagree. I want somewhere where they can say, hey, this is important, things of that nature. The mayor said he's not been able to find the city's mission statement on the city's website. In addition, city staff and random citizens he's asked haven't been able to tell him what it is. Every department has its own mission, but there's nothing bringing them together, Hovind said. Hovind warned the group at the start of the meeting he would not be able to discuss some things because of ongoing litigation. However, he said he's excited about the period of transition the city is currently going through. On December 13th, the city council voted 5-2 to terminate the contracts of city manager Michael Marrero and city attorney Natasha Brooks. A lawsuit was filed by local attorney Gavin Norris because Hovind refused to allow citizens to speak on the matter prior to the vote being taken. After the Saturday morning event, Hovind said Marrero has also retained an attorney and sent the city a letter so he could not comment further. Recycling, economic development, and communications were also discussed Saturday. The mayor told the group the council and staff are in the process of looking at the city's recycling program to determine its viability. In answer to questions from a Southside Odessan, Mata said the city has been visiting with three potential supermarkets. He's also been meeting with investors about putting in a small shopping center complex that could include a fast food restaurant. We've been working on it since day one. We have not stopped, Hovind said. The mayor said he's been criticized for going to Mexico to talk about economic development, but those talks continue. He also said he recently spoke to someone from a major corporation who wants to create a 40-acre development that could include some retail. The point of coffee with the mayor is to let people know City Hall is listening, Hovind said after the event. It's not going to be the same old, Hovind said. When city employees don't have the answer to a question or problem, they'll look into it and address it, Hovind said. There have been times over the past couple of years when issues have arisen and people have been stonewalled or no action has been taken, Hovind said. Other times, the action taken has been too slow. He cited the time council member Denise Swanner put together a committee of contractors and developers to discuss the permitting process. They met once and city staff put up resistance to any change, he said. In another instance, it took not days or weeks, but months for a company to get its new water meters inspected and approved, Hovind said. Things like that are happening on a constant basis, and developers and community members, vendors were getting nowhere with this department, and they would just finally call me, and that's where I've been accused of micromanaging. But the thing is, they were at their wits' end because of their developments, their businesses, their constructions have been held up, and this cost them money, Hovind said. Every time there's a call, there has to be a callback. Every time there's a click on our website, information has to be gotten within three clicks. Somebody needs to call them back. That's where we're not customer friendly, and that's where we're going to get to. Coffee with the mayor will be held monthly and move around to all areas of the city, Hovind said. They're going to have direct communication. There's not going to be anybody in the middle, Hovind said. He also expects council members to hold their own meetings and join him when he's in their district. Celebration. Odessans take part in MLK March. On Monday, Odessans celebrated the life of Martin Luther King Jr. with an annual march put on by the Black Cultural Council of Odessa. The march began on Dixie Boulevard and ran along Murphy Street before concluding at the Woodson Center. Monday was the culmination of a three-day celebration. The weekend celebration began on Saturday with a basketball tournament at the Woodson Boys and Girls Club, then continued on Sunday with a gospel celebration at Odessa First Methodist. On Monday, the annual King Brunch took place in the morning at the Woodson Community Center before the Freedom March took place. Monday's events concluded with a vigil put on by the Odessa Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, which also took place at the Woodson Community Center after the march. Sunday's gospel celebration included guest speaker Reverend Reginald Reed from Pleasant Hill Baptist Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. The guest speaker for Monday's brunch was former Odessa City Councilwoman Mary Willis. We've had a great turnout this weekend, Black Cultural Council of Odessa President Joanne Davenport said. We've had great attendance. Saturday, we had the basketball tournament. We had a great attendance there. It was a very diverse attendance. Sunday, we had the gospel celebration, which was a huge success. We had a guest speaker. This morning, we had the brunch, and I think we had more people than we've ever had at our brunch. We had former Councilwoman Mary Willis. She had some great things to say. This weekend has been a big success. As an organization, I would say mission accomplished. Our job was to have a day of service and to unify our community. Our community came together the way we should. For years, the Black Cultural Council of Odessa has put on the MLK celebrations, and Davenport said this year's event was a success. It's very important for us to be able to do this for Odessa, Davenport said. We have people who have lost their lives for this cause. We want to keep moving forward and make progress. We get weary along the way. We might think that nobody is listening or nobody cares, but there's a gospel here that says, if we can just help one person, then our living won't be in vain. And that's the way our organization works. If we can make a little difference in the community, then it's worth it. Citizens from all over the community took part in the parade, including Permian's football team. Odessa Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority President Sheila Stevenson talked about the importance of this year's MLK celebration. It's important for us as an organization to make sure our community is aware of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. He stood for freedom, and it's important that our community learns how to work together to cherish that dream, Stevenson said. His dream is powerful, and we would like to make sure people understand that dream. We want to make sure our young people are successful, and that they're ready to become lifelong learners, and that they are ready to get an education and to dream for the best. Don't let anyone stand in their way of accomplishing everything they should. Board to Eye School Safety Law Enforcement Grants. Going for several law enforcement and school safety related grants and requests are on the agenda for the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees meeting set for 6 p.m. Tuesday in the first floor boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. The meeting will also include a joint public hearing with District Continuous Improvement Team on the district's annual performance report. The ECISD police are requesting approval to apply for a grant from the Governor's Office for a Project Safety Neighborhood Grant. On December 12, 2022, Governor Greg Abbott announced the FY 2024 Safe Neighborhoods Grant Program for the Criminal Justice Division of the Office of the Governor. The opportunity to apply for this grant under the Governor's Office will enable ECISD to develop evidence-based activities to prevent violent crimes in targeted geographic areas in order to reduce violence, crime, and incarceration rates, supplemental agenda material said. ECISD police also are requesting 3 emergency vehicles from Sewell Ford for a total of $132,675. Supplemental agenda material says, ECISD police officers respond to calls for service and emergency calls across the school district, city, and county. Officers must be equipped with a patrol vehicle for such responses. These vehicles must be equipped with emergency light, police radio, safety equipment for secure transportation, and room for emergency deployment equipment, it says. ECISD police are requesting $86,691 for soft and hard body armor from Data Safety Supply, with funds coming from a state grant. If trustees approve a request to submit a grant application to the Governor's Office. On December 12, 2022, Abbott announced the FY 2024 Rifle Resistance Body Armor Grant Program for the Criminal Justice Division of the Office of the Governor. The opportunity to apply for this grant under the Governor's Office will enable ECISD to purchase bullet-resistant vests, ballistic plates, and plate carriers to equip frontline officers. There is also a request for $400,000 over 2 years for Edifying Teachers. Supplemental material says ECISD is seeking to partner with virtual instructional coaching providers to utilize virtual coaching to personalize the coaching experience and increase coaching outcomes. Edifying Teachers is a teacher-founded company dedicated to creating supportive spaces for educators through one-on-one virtual coaching provided by a diverse, highly qualified, and nationally recognized teacher network, the material said. The coaching support will be provided by building trusting, nurturing, productive relationships to develop teachers. Teachers need and deserve consistent encouragement and personalized development for growth, well-being, and longevity in the profession, the material says. Edifying Teachers will integrate the use of ECISD curriculum and instruction frameworks, as well as the coaching resources that our district utilizes to provide an aligned coaching experience, it says. The board will also consider approving an election order for the May 6th board election. Filing for the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees starts January 18th and runs through February 17th. Early voting will start April 24th and goes until May 2nd. Positions up for election are 1, 3, 6, and 7. Position 1 is held by Carol Gregg, Vice President, Donna Smith, Position 3, Tammy Hawkins, Position 6, and Dennis Jones, Position 7. Some other items on the agenda include the School Board Recognition Month Proclamation, presentation of the Texas Association of School Boards by Board Rebate, recognition of State Qualifier for UIL Congress, announcement of Academic All-State Student Athletes for the fall semester, the announcement for All-State Athletes for fall semester. Quick Hits, OC Board to Meet. The Odessa College Board of Trustees will have a work session at noon today, January 17th, in room 119 of the Wood Math and Science Building, 201 West University Boulevard. On the agenda are a Personnel Policy Committee discussion, Board Policy Update 44, monthly financial statements and budget amendments, and an Encore lease agreement. Learn and Lunch. The Harmony Home and Midland Rape Crisis Center have scheduled a lunch and learn from noon to 1:30 p.m. today at the Region 18 Education Service Center, Conference Room AB, 2811 LaForce Boulevard, Midland. This month is Human Sex Trafficking Awareness Month, and several agencies throughout Midland and Odessa have been working diligently with the Governor's Office over several months to create working protocols to be adopted and used throughout our communities when a child has been identified as a victim of child sex trafficking. Lunch will be provided. RSVP Marissa Whitefield at marissa@hhcac.org in order to get an accurate food count. For more information, call 432-333-5233 or visit ohhcac.org. Permian Basin Giving Day registration. To take part in the Permian Basin Giving Day, nonprofits may register through today at tinyurl.com/BDEAEPJX. OC Trustee Election. Three members of the Odessa College Board of Trustees are up for election May 6th. They include Dr. Tara Deaver, Place 8, Bruce Shearer, Place 1, and Hortensia Del Bosque, Place 2. The filing period is January 18th through February 17th. People can file at the office of Ken Zartner, Vice President of Administrative Services at the OC Administration Office, 201 West University Drive. Early voting will run April 24th through May 2nd. Love Without Limits. Stonegate Fellowship, Mid-Cities Church, and Crestview Baptist Church have scheduled a special needs prom from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. February 10th at the Stonegate Fellowship Midland Campus, 6000 West Wadley Avenue, Midland. Admission is free. However, participants must register in advance. For more information or to register, visit tinyurl.com/4n8rts8f. Odessan convicted of robbery. A 36-year-old career criminal who was convicted of robbery during a jury trial last year pleaded guilty to two more robberies last week and received two 12-year concurrent sentences. An Ector County jury found Frederick Calicut guilty of robbing the Smoker's Oasis on Grandview Avenue and sentenced him to 15 years in prison, despite Ector County Dusty Gallivan asking them to send him to prison for life. On Wednesday, Calicut pleaded guilty to two additional robberies that took place on January 6, 2020, and a fourth robbery case was dismissed. Under the terms of his plea agreement, Judge Justin Lowe sentenced Calicut to 12 years in prison on each count and ordered them to be served at the same time as the 15-year sentence. While Calicut can appeal his conviction and sentence in the Smoker's Oasis robbery, he can't appeal his conviction and sentences in the other two robberies. Although Calicut was only on trial in the Smoker's Oasis case in October, he represented himself and made mistakes that allowed Gallivan to present evidence he robbed a DK, Kent Quick, and Subway in the same neighborhood within hours of the Smoker's Oasis robbery. Calicut told jurors his now-deceased twin brother committed all of the robberies, But an investigator with the Ector County District Attorney's Office was never able to confirm Calicut even had a twin. Before he went to trial, Calicut had 9 prior convictions for robbery, aggravated robbery, and aggravated assault. At least 7 other similar charges were dismissed through the plea agreement process. Code Ninjas Midland to host Winter Open House. Code Ninjas Midland is getting ready to host its Winter Open House, a press release detailed. Code Ninja Midland is inviting the entire community to attend this free event as an opportunity to learn more about their education programs, fun events, and their encouraging staff. This open house will take place from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday at Code Ninjas Midland, which is located at 3211 West Wadley Suite 13B behind Murray's Deli. This event will feature giveaways, free game building sessions, and sign-up specials. We are very excited to host this open house. This event is a great opportunity for all parents and future ninjas to see what engaging educational activities we have going at Code Ninjas. Jacqueline Gowana, owner of Code Ninjas Midland, stated in the press release. They will get to have one-on-one conversations with our senseis and participate in game-building sessions. It will be a one-stop shop to get to know everything about Code Ninjas. Ninjas who enroll at the open house will save $49 off the first month. Also, sign up for the free game-building sessions will begin at 4 p.m. on the day of the open house. Sessions are limited. Officers find cocaine during traffic stop. Forgetting to use a turn sign helped land 2 men in jail on felony drug charges last week. According to an Odessa Police Department report, narcotics detectives pulled over a Chevrolet SUV around 5 p.m. Wednesday when the driver, Lindsay Hernandez Marrero, failed to signal from a stopped position. Hernandez Marrero gave detectives permission to search the Chevy, and they found more than 31 grams of cocaine under the front passenger seat. And when they searched the Whitaker Avenue house he just left, they found another 9 grams of the drug, according to the report. Hernandez Marrero and the homeowner, Hector Montano, were each arrested on suspicion of manufacture delivery of a controlled substance, a first-degree felony, punishable by 5 years to life in prison. Hernandez Marrero remained in the Ector County Jail Monday on a $60,000 surety bond and an Immigration and Customs Enforcement hold. Montano was released Thursday after posting a $60,000 surety bond. Obituaries for January 17th. Robert Wayne Massey, 59, of Odessa, passed away on Saturday, January 14th. There will be a graveside service at Sunset Memorial Gardens on Tuesday, January 17th. At 4 p.m. following the service, there will be a reception at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Family Center until 6 p.m. Bobby was born in Odessa to Bill Massey and Judy Hampton on January 26, 1963. He had 3 daughters and 1 son and later married Lori Rimes DeCare on January 15, 2021. Robert Massey is survived by his wife, Lori Massey, father and stepmother, Nancy and Bill Massey, his children and their spouses, Megan and Brian Vaughn, Michelle and Dustin Stum, Lori and Carson Arrington, and Robbie Massey. He is also survived by several grandchildren that he dearly loved. He is preceded in death by his mother, Judy Hampton, and his brother, B.D. Massey. He will be laid to rest next to his brother. The family wishes to extend their sincere thanks to everyone for all their thoughts and prayers. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Carol Lynn Crumpton Kelly. On January 8th, Carol Ann passed away after battling a terminal illness. She was a beloved mother, sister, and aunt. She was 78 years old, born to Morris and Evelyn Crumpton. She grew up in Midland. Carol Lynn had two children, Michael Preston and daughter Angela Nicole. Michael preceded her in death. In addition to her daughter Angela, she is survived by her brother Morris Crumpton and sisters Judith Crumpton and Diane Hollis, as well as many extended family and friends. Death notices: Michael Eugene Nichols, 60, died Thursday, January 12th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Donald Snellgross. Donald Snellgross, 83, died Monday, January 8th in Monahans. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.